Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. And we've got 3 hours of great interviews coming up between 2 and 3. We've got the Highway Patrol coming in to talk to us all things about safety on the roads. And remember, the roads are wet today. Be very, very careful. They can get very slippery. Between 1 and 2, we've got Cindy McLeish, our local MP, to come in and tell us what she's been up to and what's going on in the area. But it's my absolute pleasure at the moment to introduce Michelle. Now, we've spoken to Michelle once before, and I think this is a fantastic program and really deserves support. Michelle is the CEO of an organisation called Cancer Chicks. Now, can I just ask if you've got a friend or one of your family, a young lady who's going through their trip through cancer, please get them, you can't get them to listen today between 12 and 1. This show will be podcast late this week or first thing next week. Ask them to log on to our website. Have a look on the left-hand side. There's podcast. Click on that. Go over and you'll see my smiling face with Community Connections under it. Click on that. It'll be either first, second or third, because I think this is an organisation that more and more people need to know about. Anyway, having said all that, I'm not the guest speaker. Michelle is. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you for having me on the show again, Alan. It's crazy that 12 months has gone past already and we're having another chat.
Absolutely. I'd like to talk to you more often, to be honest, because I think the organisation that you founded, you were part of the founding, really deserves to be promoted. And I've said to you this before, and then I'll shut up because we'll let you do the talking. I can't believe a young lady who has a world in front of her, probably wants to travel, maybe wants to have children and a family and get married and do all the sorts of things. Maybe they don't. Maybe they want to do other things. All of a sudden gets news that they've got cancer. I can't believe what they would do. So, look, first of all, Michelle, for new listeners and just to remind the old ones, can you just give us a quick reminder what Cancer Chicks is all about, please?
Of course. Cancer Chicks is a support group of young women aged between 18 to 35, however we do push to 39, who are on the cancer journey, chronic illness or terminal cancer. So what Cancer Chicks does is we bring these women together because we do recognise the power and strength of being with your tribe. And just a little bit of a background on why we started the organisation in the first place is because my co-founder, Ricky Stern, who was 19, got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she was attending these support groups like Look Good, Feel Better to try and connect with other people on her journey. Instead of sitting next to people her own age group, she was sitting with people in their 70s who were on the same journey. And she recognised that there was not many people her age. There was no one in her age sitting next to her. So she contacted her medical team and asked them to make introductions to her own age. And for privacy reasons, the medical team could not introduce her to anyone. And it was then we recognised there was a gap in the market. And that's when we started Cancer Chicks 7 years ago. So that in a nutshell is what Cancer Chicks is.
Michelle, can I just ask you, because well, no doubt, or if they're not listening today, there'll be people that do know young ladies in this age group. So at what stage do they contact you? Like, we'll say that somebody was diagnosed last week with breast cancer. Do they contact you before they've had their operation, if you're going to have an operation? Do they contact you later? And then once they've contacted you, how does it roll on, please, Michelle?
Of course. There is no rules on when they can reach out. It's when they are comfortable to reach out and join Cancer Chicks. They can jump on our Facebook page. That is a private Facebook page only for Cancer Chicks. They can just register on our Instagram page or they can jump on our website. Not everyone wants once they're diagnosed, not everyone wants to talk to anybody. It really is everyone's journey and it's individual.
Michelle, could I just ask you, because this is a question I thought I might ask you later on.
Of
I heard of somebody that was diagnosed with cancer, terminal, and
yes.
they wouldn't talk to anybody, their family. Do you find that happen often?
Yeah. Look, as I said, everybody's journey is unique. Some people need to be around other people. Some people don't. I know myself, being a cancer survivor, I didn't want to be around other cancer people. I wanted to just do what I needed to do to survive, and that was it for me. I wasn't interested in speaking to anyone. I just wanted to have my treatment and then move on with my life. Everybody is different. What we do say about Cancer Chicks is even if you register or jump on our Facebook page, you do not have to speak. You do not have to get involved. You can read. But what we do know from all our Cancer Chicks is there is an incredible power being amongst girls, women who know what you're going through. Often your family do not understand. Everyone wants to do something or help you. They just don't get it. But being part of Cancer Chicks, we all get exactly what you're going through. Whether you said some are mothers, some are not. Some may never be able to be mothers. That choice has been taken away the minute they start having treatment. We understand and we get it. Our language in communicating with each other is exactly the language we want to hear. We don't want to hear people say to us, you got the good cancer, or I know somebody who also got cancer. We just get each other, and that is the power of Cancer Chicks. That's what we do, and that's what we do well.
Michelle, I've just got to take a quick break. There's a couple of things popped up on the computer. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, but I want to keep exploring this. And then towards the end, people, as I often say, get your paper and pencil ready. I'm sure Michelle will give you some contacts and probably, and we'll talk about this, they maybe need donations and all sorts of things. So let's get the paper and pencil ready and see what we can do for them.
Yeah.
I'm talking. Gee, that ended abruptly. I'm talking to Michelle from Cancer Chicks. Michelle, you make a terrific point. Like, it's no good an old guy like me trying to talk to a 23-year-old saying, I know how you feel, because I wouldn't have a clue. And I'd feel very sorry for them, but that's not necessarily what they want. Michelle, when people are often under stress and not well, we often wake up at 2 and 3 in the morning with nobody to talk to, and that's sometimes when we're the most stressed. Do you find that these girls, I'll call them girls or ladies, young ladies, do you find that they sort of get bonds together and they're able to ring one and she says, yeah, I had that a few weeks ago, tomorrow you'll feel better in 2 days, and they're actually able to support each other?
That is exactly how it works. So it may not necessarily work at 2 a.m. in the morning, yep, but it is exactly how this process works. They will put a message out saying, I couldn't sleep last night, or this was my diagnosis I got from the doctors yesterday, or they're putting me on this medication and the side effects. Has anyone else experienced the side effects? This is how the communication works. This is the power, because it makes the girls realize that they're not unique, they're not alone, that and the support they get from our women is the power. You mentioned that you wouldn't know how to talk to a 23-year-old. It's not whether you're a male of your age or a female of your age. It can be a female that's 23 that hasn't gone down that journey and they still struggle to know what to say.
Yep.
So it's not necessarily age related, meaning it's the journey and the journey related that is the power.
And the person that's talking to them is either further down the track on that journey or towards the end of their journey, aren't they?
Correct. We have some girls that attend our events that are 10 years out of their journey. What people generally don't understand is once their treatment is over, their medical team go, okay, you're on your way, that's it, go live your beautiful life.
Yep.
But what happens is they are not, just because their medical journey stops.
I've got to apologise for the phone ringing, but it's stopped now, sorry.
It's okay. Just because their medical journey stops doesn't mean their journey stops. That's when all the demons start coming out. That's where all the baggage starts forming. Whilst they're on their journey, their medical journey, they're staying focused in survival. And, yes, they've got questions about losing their hair and bits and pieces like that. It's when their treatment is over and they're supposed to go back to normal life, their friends and family go, okay, you've survived, now move on. It's not that simple. It doesn't happen that easily. So that is where the support comes in. And as I said, we've had girls who are 10 years out and they still attend our events. And it's perfect because that girl that's 10 years out is a great support to the girl that's 3 weeks out. And that's when also communication occurs.
Michelle, you just hit on a point there that I just want to sort of explore with you a little bit. You said that, you know, people just say, well, you know, get back to normal life. But for some of these young ladies, it's never going to be a normal life. Well, not a normal life in the terms that other people see them as, are they?
Well, yes and no. Yep. Sometimes it takes a few years. It might take 10 years to start feeling normal. I know that myself, 15 years out of my treatment, I do not spend any time thinking about my journey then. It does not cross my mind, even though I work in that industry. But some people still have baggage, as I said, and, you know, 10 years out, they still think, and every time you've got an ache and pain, you start panicking. And I understand their support group. I understand their support group also want to move on and live their normal life, but it is a really complex environment, a complex situation, on this cancer. And may I also remind everyone that we're not only cancer, we're also chronic illness. So, you know, we have a lot of women who are stage 4 endometriosis and other chronic illness where they actually spend more time in hospital than they do out of hospital. So even though they're not cancer, their journey is very similar to a cancer girl.
Michelle, I just want to ask you. No, look, I'll take a quick break because this next one is going to be a bit longer, I can tell you. We want to know, or the question I'm going to ask you, I don't normally tell people the question, but it's going to be, all right, so some girl contacts you today. Can you, as soon as we finish this break, go through the process, what would happen then?
Of course.
Thanks.
On the road again, I just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again, and I can't wait to get on.
Michelle, I just want to draw a little bit of a picture for her. So a young lady has got, well, she's gone to the doctor. They told her she's got cancer or one of these other major illnesses. So she reaches out to Cancer Chicks and puts something up. So now there are various things you do. So could you just run us... I want to leave the camp until last because I really want to talk about that or the get-together.
Of course.
Because I think that's a really big thing by itself. But so what would happen then?
Okay. So it really depends on what the cancer chick requires because we really try and fit in with their needs. I'll just give you an example of a situation we just recently did, and this situation would probably be considered the most extreme case we have ever had in Cancer Chicks. So one of our Cancer Chicks contacted us to let us know she's about to start her second journey of cancer, and I'll just give you a rundown of her life.
Yep.
She was abandoned at 11 by her mother. She was left with her father and a brother, which was an extreme domestic violence situation. So at that point, she is taken out of her family home and put into foster care where there's sexual abuse. She escapes foster care, falls into prostitution, and then from prostitution goes into drug addiction. She discovers when she's approximately 24. She discovers when she's about 24 that she's got breast cancer. She thinks that she has been given breast cancer as a punishment for her past life. She goes into surgery. She's at this point, she's homeless. She doesn't have a house or a home. She goes into surgery. She has a lumpectomy. Her medical team, which is very common, deal with her cancer. After her surgery, they escort her to the door and said, "See you later." She says to her medical team, I'm homeless." They say, "Nothing we can do about it." So she exits the hospital, which is a prominent hospital in Sydney, a prominent cancer hospital in Sydney, and she either couch surfs or finds safe places for her to sleep while she's recovering from her surgery.
And she's still recovering.
She's recovering.
Yep.
She ends up getting an infection, goes back into hospital and has to be treated for the infection. When they once again escort her to the door, she notifies them that she's suicidal. They give her an hour with a psychiatrist, then say, "See you later" again. She thinks she's being punished. She finds out, though, that she has the BRCA gene. So her previous life had nothing to do with her being diagnosed with cancer. But with the BRCA gene, they highly recommend that she has a double mastectomy. She's not afraid of her double mastectomy. She's fearful of the recovery on the other side, knowing her journey. She attends one of our events. She shares a little bit with us. I go up to her and I say to her, "I have a magic wand. Send me an email or contact me and let me know what you need." By the time she reaches out to me, which is not too long afterwards, which I'm so grateful that she didn't delay, Salvation Army have managed to find her government housing, so she gets a little one-bedroom apartment in a reasonably okay area. But she rattles off a list of everything she requires. She needs support after her surgery. She needs a bra or strapping after her surgery. She needs food. She needs somebody to do her washing. But mostly she needed somebody to attend her doctor's appointments with her, to advocate for her because her medical team weren't listening. She signs off and gives myself and one of our other Cancer Chick board members permission to speak on her behalf at her doctor's appointments. We go in there as mothers and as Cancer Chick people, and we advocate for her on her behalf. We notify the hospital that whatever they do for her, once again, back in this prominent, one of the most prestige cancer hospitals in Australia, that they could not give her a single bill. She could not get charged for a single thing after her surgery. She could not get a bill for a Band-Aid because she did not have the money. So we negotiated that for her. We spoke on her behalf in her appointments because they weren't explaining anything to her. Our resident oncology reconstructive doctor who speaks to our girls in Cancer Chicks gave her appointments to see him. He wasn't connected to this hospital, but was very happy to speak to her and listen to her process and give her guidance and expectations on what was going to happen. Anyhow, she eventually, after a long period of time, goes in and has a double mastectomy. We are there to see her and we visit her. She said to her team she didn't want any visitors because she was fearful her family, who were the perpetrators of a domestic violence, would find her. So there were no visitors for her. This hospital did not get her up after her surgery for 9 days. We know that part of recovery is getting the patient up to walk around pretty soon.
Absolutely. Any operation.
She wasn't showered for 9 days. By the time we find this out, you can imagine how myself and the other person helping her spoke to the team. We were livid.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, we were livid. I did not care if they were short staffed. This woman, this young girl had this massive surgery. Anyhow, This probably happened about 8 or 10 weeks ago. She then attended our Sail and Socialise 8 weeks after her treatment. I mean, she's been backwards and forwards having these minor surgeries because there's always complications, especially with her medical journey, there's been complications. But Alan, she now has a job with Two Good Food, learning an apprenticeship to cook with this organisation, and she's being paid for it. She has this beautiful little one-bedroom apartment. Her journey's not over because she will have to go in for a hysterectomy at the age of 27 because that's what she has to do. But had she not attended one of our events, had she not spoken at that event and shared with us, we would not have been able to get in there and intercept everything that was going on, and we managed to get her right to where she is now. And everything that she required was covered by this government organisation called this government facility. So she got her food complimentary. She got nurses to come in. She got physiotherapy. We just had to make sure that she didn't slip through the cracks, and she was put in this program. It was Compact, a community package, but we had to get her oncology nurse to make sure that she didn't slip through the cracks. And because she had such a little voice, the risk of her slipping through the cracks were high.
Well, she had, pardon me, and she must have developed a lot more a lot of pride in herself. Like, being left unshowered and all that is just disgraceful. But
absolutely. But she was in so much pain. Like, you know, it's quite an aggressive surgery. The recovery's brutal. So, yes. But I have told her that when she is physically, emotionally, mentally ready, I'm going to get her to share her story and put her on our talking circuit, because I'm always asked for girls to come and speak, and she's very excited to now go forth and share her journey and now give it to others that are going through. But we thought it could not possibly be true. This journey of this young woman couldn't possibly be true.
I wouldn't believe
yet it.
It
was.
Pardon me. We're in a first world country. We're not in a third world country, are we?
Nope, and it still happens.
Michelle, I've got to take a quick break, and then I'll come back, and you might be interested in the singer that I've put up for the next little bracket.
To dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. Then afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. In your eyes, you still despise the same old lies you heard the night before. And though it's just a line to you, for me it's true, I'll never seem so right before. I practice every day to find some clever lines to say to make the meaning come true. But then I think I'll wait until the evening gets late and I'm alone with you. The time is right, your perfume fills my head, the stars get red and all the night's so blue. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. Right, Your perfume fills my head, the stars get red and all the nights so blue. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love.
That was Robbie Williams and Nicole Kidman and Something Stupid. Now, Michelle, you've talked a little bit about saying when they came to events. So let's now expand on what those events are, please.
Of course. So we run day events. We run two in New South Wales, which are generally close to Sydney or in Sydney, and two in Victoria. We are launching into Queensland this second half of the year. These are day events where we bring the girls, we share a meal. They probably spend about 4 to 6 hours together, and it's just a method of bringing them to start the relationship. They're incredibly powerful. We used to do them overnight, and we recognised very quickly that if we ran them as far as a day event, we could host a lot more girls, and the impact was just as good. We also run events which are very age appropriate. Even though these girls are on this incredible journey, they still want to recognize that they're youthful, and they still focus on happiness and joy. So we get tickets to Fashion Week, and we all sit together in the VIP section of Fashion Week. We get a super yacht donated to us a couple of times a year so we can take 20 girls on this magnificent super yacht and sail the harbour.
Terrific.
Yep. It's fantastic. We hold events where we do a lot of online events because we have girls scattered all around Australia, a lot in remote areas. So we'll talk about how to apply your makeup through chemotherapy, how to draw your eyebrows. So we've got a wonderful cancer chick founded, the founder of this organization is a cancer chick, Eye of Horus. So you can purchase all their products online. They run our makeup events, and her products are specifically made organic and natural because she is a cancer survivor herself. We hold online webinars to discuss diet. So we're holding one in a few weeks' time where the girls can discuss diet through chemotherapy and cancer. However, this dietitian also specializes in re-loving your body after this journey. So it's a powerful webinar. We've got an intimacy webinar where our girls can discuss all the intimacy issues they experience through treatment, after treatment. I mean, one of the girls, we ask the girls to submit questions prior to these webinars so the host knows how to answer them. I mean, one of these girls had problems being intimate as a direct result of the medication she was on at the time, and her male doctor told her all she needed to do was relax. So we've got a pelvic specialist physio who comes and discusses all the issues that occur through treatment and how to overcome these treatments. We have a webinar on how to speak to your children when you are diagnosed or terminal. So we hold this webinar so these girls can discuss all of this. So we are very conscious of making sure every event or every online webinar we host is relevant to this demographic and their journey. We try not to focus once again on sadness. We focus on happiness and laughter and giggling. And often we laugh at, we call non-cancer people muggles.
Do you?
Yeah, we love you and the questions you ask and the things, you know, one of our girls says she was in the middle of chemotherapy. She had no hair and she's sitting at the bus stop and this person sitting next to her roll their eyes and says, oh, the youth today shaving their head. So, you know, we manage to laugh at these sort of situations. Try to make them normal.
Sounds good. Look, I'm going to take one quick break and then I want to run something past you and we'll have a talk. Back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 8 minutes to 1 o'clock. And at 1 o'clock, we'll have the news weather, and that'll be followed by Cindy McLeish between 1 and 2, and between 2 and 3, we'll have the highway patrolling. Michelle, you've talked about these events. Now, it would be fantastic. I don't know if you hold me in the Yarra Valley, but I'm thinking that some of these wineries around here, they close their facilities for a month or so. It'd be fantastic if we could get a winery that would offer you, I mean, you're not asking to take the place over for a week or anything, you're only one a day. It'd be fabulous, guys and ladies, if out there with a facility. So what sort of facility would you need, Michelle?
Well, first of all, I think a winery would be absolutely amazing because even the environment is therapeutic. The being in the middle of nature is incredibly therapeutic. We would just need an area where maybe 20 to 30 girls can sit down, be served a meal. It doesn't have to be a lavish meal. And just sit there and talk. We have held a couple of days in a beautiful protea farm on the Mornington Peninsula, and the girls just walked through the fields, chatted. Ultimately, just as long as they have a space which is independent to anyone else, that they can sit there for 3 to 4 hours, talk, have a nice meal, and network between each other, that would be phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And I would also personally fly down from Sydney to be there at the same time.
Come on, people. If even if the wineries aren't listening, there must be somebody that's got a friend or a relative that owns a winery or a facility in the Yarra Valley. I don't believe, well, there's plenty around. Surely somebody. They're only asking for a few hours on one day. And surely we could somewhere could get some sponsorship for those meals. Come on, people, let's really get behind this. Michelle, I've got to ask you the question because people will want to know. Do you get any government funding, or do you have to do all your own fundraising?
We do all our own fundraising. We did win one grant. It was a government grant, and the amount of reporting that is required to receive that grant...
It's not worthwhile.
I would actually have to spend the money that I... It was a grant of $40,000, and I would have to spend $30,000 of that $40,000 employing somebody to do that reporting, which was... I completely understand that everything has to be above board. We are a poor, small... charity of which we service many, many girls. I can't use the money that should go into the charity to pay for somebody to do the reporting. So I'm lucky enough to get foundations. I mean, the Pratt Foundation support us, the Next Generation Foundation support us. We do a lot of little events where we raise bits and pieces. Our community support us, but we are always chasing the money because we do not charge our girls anything.
That's terrific.
Their journey's expensive. This should not be added to their expense. So we.
All right. So, Michelle, I guess apart from the fact we would really love to get your facility for a day, we're not asking for a lot, but surely there is ways that they can donate to Cancer Chicks?
Yes, all you have to do is log into cancerchicksaustralia.org.au.
Slow it down so they can write it down, please, Michelle.
Just Google Cancer Chicks Australia and then you'll see us there, and we have a donate page on our website. So it is as simple as a click button when you get to our website. We're also putting together a raffle with lots of wonderful prizes nationwide. Once that's on, I would love to send you the link.
Please do.
So people can share it amongst their network. That would be amazing. We're hoping to raise $40,000 or $50,000 from this raffle. So just by sharing it amongst your network and buying a book of raffle tickets, that makes a big difference.
Send it down to me, please, when you've got it all set up.
I will definitely send it.
Only too happy to promote it. I guess the money is tax deductible. Any donations?
100%. We are an official NGO charity. You will get an automatic gift receipt, a deductible gift receipt. I mean, we are 5 days from the end of the financial year.
That's what I was thinking.
All I can say to people is you're about to pay the tax man money.
Yep.
And if you can take a bit of the money that you are actually going to be paying the tax man and channeling it to us, at least we can use it. Otherwise, you're going to be writing a check and just gifting it to the tax man. At least we can get a bit of that.
Michelle, apart from dollars, is and I ask this advisedly because very often you can't do it because they give you all the wrong stuff. Do you ever look for donations like that, or is it better for them to give you money because you can buy what is needed?
I'm humble. I will take anything. Reach out to me. Reach out. Go through our website. Send us an email through the website. We will take anything. And even if you just want to help, we will work out a way that you can help us. We would love any assistance. Even if I was to send you flyers down and you go to your local hospital or your local cancer unit and put our flyers on their counters, that would be an amazing help. We just want to share the brand.
I didn't want to cut across you. I thought you'd stop.
That's okay. No, we just want to share the brand.
Well, people out there. I'm sure people have friends and that are doctors and all sorts of things that probably a really good place to put some of these flyers out. But particularly, let's get behind the raffle. When Michelle sends it to me, I'll put it out on our socials, on Yarra Valley and mine and that, and we'll see if we can't get some money. Look, Michelle, I wish we never had to have this discussion, but cancer's with us, whether we like it or not. I found out about your organisation, I think, 18 months ago, and I got you on as quick as we could, and I think it's terrific what you do. I really wish you well. I thank you for your time again today. We will talk again. I can promise that. We're going to keep promoting this. We're going to get someone with a winery to give you a day, I'll tell you what. But thank you again, Michelle, and I look forward to talking to you again. I wish you and your group well.
And thank you, Alan, for having me on again, and I'll see you in 12 months' time.
Yeah, or maybe we might have some good news where we'll see you down here.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
No worries. Thank you, Michelle. And again, as I say, if anyone has got the opportunity that they've got a facility that they could let them have, they're not asking to take it up for weeks, only a few hours and a meal, surely we can do something for them. And end of the financial year, if you've got a few dollars, I know times are tough, but if you can, let's give them some money. So thank you again, Michelle.
Thanks, Alan. Thank you so much.
No worries. Bye.